What's going on? My name is Carolina Teresa.
And I'm Melissa Rich.
And we are hoes
with feelings. And let me tell you, babes, I've been feeling the feelings today.
Come on. Testify. Testify, Melissa.
It was as though I was just self-sabotaging at every corner. Like, because I was upset, it snowballed into a million, like, worse and worse and worse. I'm missing other things because I'm just being sad and inactive. I'm not able to react and respond to the things that are coming up and changing just because I'm being too in my feelings and sad. So it just literally got worse and worse and worse and worse. The only good thing that happened.
David said about Gemini season.
What about it?
Well, what he said was that it depends on what he said. It depends on like where it lands in your health, but it could be chaotic. And Mercury is also in retrograde, babe.
I know, but like, it's also me. Like, I need to, well, I don't know. I feel like this is very Virgo of me. Like, no, I can control it. I can whatever.
Listen, as Virgos, we can be so hard on ourselves. And that's the only thing I want to say is that I even forget that we can be so hard on ourselves. We're hard on ourselves. We're hard on other people, but we're always harder on ourselves.
I know.
As soon as we feel like we're not being productive, as soon as we feel like we're fucking up, it's a downward spiral. I'm just saying this from double Virgo, from my double Virgo shoes to your double Virgo ears.
That's exactly what happened. It's, yeah, it was a tornado of me. No, but like at the same time, I mean, I haven't talked about this on the pod and I literally just thought it, but I got scammed. I got robbed, fully robbed from money in my account. And I'm really beating myself up over it, even though it was like a very legitimate, very good scam. Essentially, someone called pretending to be my bank. And like, I just feel stupid. I feel like naive for being unaware of like the evil. Cause you know, I had a good time with the scammer. You know, we were, it was, you know, kikiing. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like a shady sounding phone call. They're like giving me tips on not, on avoiding fraud, because it was literally like, someone's using your card, let's get you a new debit card. I was going through the process of getting a new debit card.
And essentially, like, but not.
Oh no, I was getting scammed the whole time. And it was exactly what the bank does. And I was like, when I talked to my bank, I was like, well, yeah, I'm so stupid because they called me. And she was like, I don't, like, we call. Like, it's not like, you know, that would, like, there was nothing that was like, oh, my bank would never do that. And like, now when I try to use my bank and I'm like, oh, well, I'm not going to do this, send a message with the code and I tell you the code, because that's what the scammers did. And they were like, well, that's what we do. So it's just like, everything was the same. And
they,
like,
they sent you a code as well?
Yeah. They're doing the, we're going to text you a code and read us the code back. And that's how they got all the info.
That's how they would scan me.
So I say this, yeah, I say this to warn people about it, but also because I am struggling to like, forgive myself for the scam. Like, I've gotten some of the money back, but there's no guarantee. Which I also just found out. I was like, oh, the bank will just give me the money back. And they're like, just not, kind of. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Hopefully the money will return. But it is truly just today dragging me to the depths of hell.
I think just be consistent with the bank. Keep calling them. I think if you get the right person, you can get your money back. Because remember when we were in Miami, all you needed to do was get the right person. And I think people like you, Melissa. If you can,
yeah, but they're not just going to like,
you can keep the bank.
Yeah.
You don't believe?
I mean, well, I don't think there's anything that the individual person can do. I think it's like an investigation with like, and it's different than like regular fraud. It's like wire fraud. They're like, this was like cash, whatever. Point being, like, that, me being sad, she did. She literally said, you have to open an FBI case. And I was like, well, that sounds daunting. But I guess I just have to do that. I don't know. It's truly, it could be worse. Did not take all of my money. Did not take, you know, an unfathomable amount of money, but like enough that it's like, okay.
It's enough.
It's enough. And like, I guess what I am mad at myself about besides the actual scam is like, literally, I just woke up today and was so sad about it that it destroyed every opportunity I had for happiness. But let me tell you the only thing that made me feel good today. I tried cryotherapy. Have you done cryotherapy? I just have all these points. I have ClassPass points.
From ClassPass.
That it's my last day of ClassPass and I had like 40 points. So I was like, let me do some fucking cryotherapy. Not really even knowing what it was. And like, I did like literally masochistic stuff today too. Like I went and got waxed. Horrible. Go like from the wax to cryotherapy. And I was like, is that even okay? Can I freeze my newly waxed? Which apparently it was fine. Then like, yeah, it was just so cold. It was like my two least favorite things, getting the hair ripped out of my vulva and being cold. So like, why did I do those things? Like, that's insane.
But after you said you liked it.
I think I felt really good. Yeah. I think it was like a survival instinct thing. Like you can't be sad and stupid when you're fighting to live. Not that you were going to die during it, but like you get so cold.
What's the point of it?
So it's like for athletes, supposedly, when they're like injured or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think it also like tones and like can help you like on some level with like, you know, I don't think it's going to make you like lose weight. But I think it says it does. I don't know. I was just like, I haven't tried this. I'm depressed. Let me do this. And I felt good afterwards. It was like, it's, you know, like when you do the cold plunge at a spa and you're like, that was awful, but now it's not happening. So that's good.
Have you ever tried, sensory depth therapy?
Sensory deprivation?
Yes.
No, I'm dying to. Mm-hmm. Of course, I know you're not an advocate. It's a great sensory deprivation tank, sensory deprivation.
I have never, but gag. You doing the cryotherapy made me be like, should I try cryotherapy? Should I try these things? Honestly, post pandemic, I do want to try all the things.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
I mean, you said it made you feel good. And also, my uncle, can I tell you something? My uncle used to tell me, uncle used to tell like, it's like part of, he's like, is you know, that idea that like, whenever you feel pain, at least you know you're alive.
I think it was a lot of that. Yeah. Well, it was also bad. Like when I got my wax, like usually my wax lady is like, as I've said, like literally the most nurturing person in my life besides my boyfriend. But today she was just busy. And yeah, she's truly my soulmate. And she wasn't even giving what she needed to give. Well, and it's not her fault. They were booked like four deep when I got there. Hold on. She messaged me on WhatsApp. Mm. Oh my God. She's so sweet. She just found me on WhatsApp and said, Neela, I'm here. Thank you so much. I love her. Like, fuck. Yeah. So it wasn't, you know, the general emotional connection that we had. But yeah, that truly helped. I'm literally going to cry. She's amazing. So yeah, I kind of thought that was going to like make me feel better. But then I was like, great. I didn't even get my Neelam time. Yeah, I don't know. I just like it felt like bad stuff was happening to me. Also, it's my fault. And I thought I was going to have a really good day because I slept so hard. I slept insanely, but it literally felt like demons have infiltrated and are ruining my day. What are you looking at? Therapy, aren't you?
Well, I was looking at
Googling
on ClassPass.
After the pod,
you're correct. I have had a busy week, but I think that now in like, this is week four of working, I just have to accept that this is my life now. Like if I want to do creative shit, I'm going to have to work and do my creative shit during lunch and then do my creative shit after lunch and be a scheduler and be trying to schedule all my shit and like just push myself. I used to do it. I could do it again. And I'm starting to just get used to it and like accept that like my life is just going to be a little bit more busy. And then also I'm starting to feel less bad about not going to things and doing stuff because like I'm actually tired and I need to recharge. And I think it's been beneficial, even though this past week, like I had two auditions and I looked ugly during both of them.
Okay. I remember that day and like, I get it. You're like, you did not look ugly. And
but Melissa,
whatever. I can't stay here and Melissa, like convince you. I said, what did I say? We were taking pictures for our show. You didn't even want to take pictures.
I didn't. And we went to go like, take the pictures.
Guarantee and said, you will book one of those things you audition for. I was ugly. I was like, you're gonna book at least one.
Listen, sometimes when you're convinced that you're ugly in that moment, you're just convinced that you're ugly in the moment. That's it. There was nothing that changed my mind. Maybe it was my shining personality. Yeah. I truly don't. Yeah. I do think I was looking ugly, but you know, I had the personality.
Congrats, babe.
Thank you.
That's great. Sometimes when you don't look hot, you're like, wow, I really got to sell it.
I was freaking out yesterday when I booked it because I wasn't sure if I would have the time off, but I figured it out and I asked and I have the time off. So fine. I'll be able to shoot it because it's 2 day shooting. And so now I'm happy.
That's amazing.
And I had another audition today and I looked pretty, but you know what? Probably not going to book it.
Well, did I tell you I auditioned for a lupus commercial? A commercial for a disease called lupus? I was like, where is the line? You know, what is the line? And
there is no line and there doesn't need to be a line. I once insinuated that I might have lupus
so sad.
To get out of work once.
You lied about lupus?
I insinuated.
That's actually a good one because it's like, prove it. Prove that I don't have lupus. And they can't.
Because I need it. Because it was like,
I mean, at what price am I going to be the face of lupus? Like, if I don't book this, it will truly be a blessing. But at the same time,
first of all,
give me that scam money back.
Is it a commercial?
No, I think it's a print ad. Let me see.
It's a print ad.
The thing was only photos. So that was also a blessing.
Yes. But sis, depending on the distribution, the price could be very high.
That's why I gave my full effort to the lupus organization. Well,
what did you have to audition to do?
It was just photos. And when I tell you the list, okay, listen, because I have the paper right next to me, the style, non-seasonal. Layers so we can get different looks. 3 outfits, no heavy accessories, watches, heavy patterns, colors should be on the darker side, no hoodies, no ripped jeans, simple style. So literally just like look bad. Full body shot, face up, close up smile, full body, left right profile, right profile, medium close up, smile, closed mouth, medium close up, smile, big teeth, medium close up, smirk, serious thoughtful, but you're thinking of something warm and fuzzy. And then one with like a Neil. I honestly will, if I don't book this, I will post the pictures that I took just as a gag. Like if I don't book, they're Please. So bad. They're Please. So bad.
I bet
maybe post
not,
is
though.
Too much. No,
send
no, it's terrible.
To me at least. At minimum,
I will
send them to you.
So much. Cause it was, you know, Frank. Wait, did I fuck up my mic? Can you hear me? Frank.
It was a little weird for a moment, but it's back.
Frank will do the self-tapes. But I was like, even this is too much to ask. You know, that's insane. That's like 12 photos of nonsense. Yeah, it was bad. But I will send them to you. And maybe if I'm feeling truly vulnerable, I will put them on Instagram. They're so bad. I'll send you a couple just so you have them. And
Melissa, I was listening back to the David podcast. And when I tell you, it's literally just me, Liz, laughing at you.
Like, why?
You say stuff and I go, Melissa! Just laughing like Shut Ursula.
Laughing at me, at my woes.
No, but like Ursula. No, no, not your woes. You just say the craziest things.
When I tell you people, you know, talk to me about like, oh, you said this on the podcast. I'm like, I had no idea I said that.
Me too.
I have no clue what has been said, what like has been just said. Nothing leaves me immediately. Never to return. Oh my God. Ugh. Well, I'm glad that you bucked and that you're coming around. I mean, and what you've told me, work seems to be a little bit more chill. And
it does. I'm starting to find my groove. I'm just very, I asked Hamine, I said, Hamine, what is the number in terms of my booking where I can say adios?
Yeah.
No me quiere trabajar. And he's like,
yeah. Did you even give a number?
He was just like, no, he just looked at me like,
well, now that you're going to have health insurance.
I know. We were looking at health insurance last night. It's really expensive to add your spouse. And like, but I'll be very transparent. It is $691 a month when I add my spouse. It's $66 for just me.
66?
But that's not, yeah, $66 a month for just me. But when you add your spouse, it's even cheaper to add a child. So if I had a child, it would have been cheaper than to add my spouse, which is fine. My thing is they split it up. It comes out of your paycheck every 2 weeks. So it's like the $691 half and half. My thing is, and I'm getting paid enough where I'm like, it's not going to bankrupt me. I'll be fine. It'll be worth it. It's good insurance. And in my mind, I'm like, I think this is just kind of how it is. So then I asked my dad. My dad says he pays for him and my mom maybe like almost 600, like 600, low 600s, right? Or 600. I asked my friend Katie. Her husband was on her insurance with her. They were paying 7-something. So it's not crazy, but Hamine is such a, like a deal finder that he thinks he's going to find some, he's going to get a deal. But here's the caveat. When you are married to someone whose company offers insurance, you don't qualify for any tax deductions through Obamacare. So he can't even go find like a cheaper alternative besides like a health sharing program, which is like this religious and weird.
My blood. Real.
Exactly. But
why is it like this?
Even the girls that I work with in England are like, yeah, we heard about how it really sucks there with the healthcare. Cause I tell them, I'm like, oh, I have a doctor's appointment.
No.
Yeah. They're like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you must go. I heard it's really hard. You can't just go to the doctor. It's expensive and you have to like make appointment. And I heard it's hard to get appointments. I'm like, damn, even all the way across the pond, they know we suck.
Oh, they know. They know for sure. Well, here's the thing. Hopefully, I don't know what, you know, kind of insurance you will have, but like, I'm sure it's good. When I was paying for insurance, granted, I was not paying a lot of money for insurance, but I stopped paying that shit because every time I went to the doctor, it's still $300. So I was like, why am I paying the $200 or $300 a month that I can't even go to a doctor without paying? They're like, oh, you have to reach your deductible. Why the fuck do deductibles exist? That doesn't make sense.
Listen, I made the lady on the phone, and then I spoke to a man on the phone, and I made them repeat themselves many times until I could understand it. And I'm an adult woman.
Oh, I understand
it. Insurance through a job before.
Scams.
But I don't understand it.
It's a scam.
Scams, bitch. Scams.
Scams. I'm getting scammed every day.
You know what else is a scam?
What?
The New York education system and the food apartheid.
Yes.
And this is my way of
seamless transition. Yes.
Seamless transition into, but to be honest, this this guest was so educational and is truly a scholar.
Mm-hmm. I feel educated. Scholar.
I felt a little intimidated. I feel educated, but I also felt a little intimidated talking to her because
truly
she just sounds so smart. You know, when you're talking to someone who is really, really smart, I haven't been in college in a long time. It's been a long time. So, you know, I don't even know if I remember how to speak in the way that she speaks.
I know.
But Amy Cheese, who is also a Queens native, like your girl Queens, get the money.
Yeah.
Is a really amazing guest who, you know, speaks a lot about her journey through academia, becoming a vegan female queer activist.
Mm-hmm. She's truly someone who's dedicated her life to the causes, like food, absolutely, clothes. And it's really, really inspiring to see. And someone who's, I mean, she's very young, like still in school, still getting her master's. So this is the very, very beginning of her journey. So I thought it was very cool to speak with her at this time of her life where, you know, everything mm-hmm. is still so new. I wish we had more time with her, honestly. I still had a million questions, but we delve in to...
Booked and busy. She's booked and busy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as she should be. But it's a great interview, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very fun.
So please give it up. Open your ears and your hearts mm-hmm. for our guest, Amy Cheese.
Amy, thank you so much for being here. We're so excited to have you. Where are you speaking with us from?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be in conversation with y'all. I'm in Washington, D.C., but I'm from Queens, New York.
Amazing. Okay. She's a Queens girl, just
two
like
two Queens
me.
Girls on one pod and one girl who lived in Astoria for 1.5 years. So you guys are like
two Queens girls who chose very different paths. You know, one is sort of a comedian, kind of, you know, a little goofy. And then the other one is low-key, not high-key and intellectual. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of.
A scholar of some sort.
A true scholar.
You know, one time I was really drunk and I was like, I got like this diploma and I had it in me and I was like, I'm a scholar, bitch.
You should say that all the time. Yeah.
The one time I only called myself a scholar.
It happened more frequently. I think you should start calling yourself doctor. Yeah. Just give yourself a doctorate.
One day, y'all. Thank you.
Are you getting a doctor?
Maybe. Who knows?
Ooh.
Only a scholar would say maybe to a doctorate. If you ask me if I'm getting a doctorate, I'm telling you,
false. See how I'm feeling.
It depends, yo. The journey was really hard getting here.
Okay, talk to us about the journey.
Yeah.
Talk to us.
So right now I'm getting my master's in ethics, peace, and human rights at American University. And, I got my bachelor's at Syracuse. But you know, before that I didn't even know what college was. Even in high school, like I went to a really janky high school where, only
which
like
one? Shout it out.
I went to high school for health professions and human services. I don't know if y'all know it. It's in Manhattan.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was going to be so nice because it was in the city and you know, it wasn't. I thought I was going to live my gossip. There was so many moments in my life where I thought I was going to live my gossip girl life and I didn't. But, right. So just a few of us came out of it. And I remember my advisor, she didn't even believe that I can go to college. I actually told her I wanted to go to Syracuse and she looked at my grades, which were perfectly fine, but she still said that it was a really hard school to get into and there was no way that I could get in. And it wasn't until I found an external program outside of my high school that helped me with all of the finances and translating everything in Spanish for my parents and to apply for FAFSA and all of that. And then when I got into college, I actually went back to the same advisor and I told her, here's my acceptance letter, like put it in, like give it to the school that I'm going to go to the school. And her jaw just like dropped and she was like, okay. She didn't say anything else, but it's just, it was really hard because, you know, throughout all of this, you can see just credentials, but it took a lot of people to believe in me and to show me like how to do it, how to do things in order for me to accomplish them.
That was a really cute big mistake moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah. It was a bad bitch moment for sure.
Yeah. You know, big mistake when Julia Roberts, what's the movie where Julia Roberts,
big mistake, Pretty Woman. Of
Pretty
course.
Woman. Uh-huh. When she goes uh-huh. into the store and she goes, the big store. Mistake, big mistake. That's mm-hmm. the big mistake moment. You know what? Mm-hmm. The same thing, something similar happened to me. I had this one college advisor and I was like, you just mad because you're ugly. But I told her, she said something to me and it was about like filling out the FAFSA. And my dad didn't want to fill out the FAFSA because he knew they weren't going to give me any money. And she was trying to get me to fill the FAFSA. And I was like, honestly, like my dad is saying, she's like, oh, you know your father? That's what she said to me. Mm-hmm. Then when I was applying, when I said that I was applying to Ithaca College, which is where I eventually went, mm-hmm. she was like, oh, like tried to make me feel like I couldn't get in. And then told one of the other students that I didn't get it. I got in because I'm Black. And I said, first of all, Afro-Latina, get it together. Second of all,
right.
I said, mm-hmm. if anything, I got in above her because I'm a legacy.
Mm.
Because wow. before they do that, because I am a legacy, my aunt went right. there. Mm-hmm. So check yourself.
Come correct.
They right. always, mm-hmm. they all, and let me no, tell
they're,
you something.
They're don't always get me doubting started us.
About the New York education system.
Oh my God. Yeah. Now that is the tea. It's so bad because sometimes my partner and I were like, do we want to live in New York? We're going to live in New York. Like that's, you know, that's my home. That's where my parents are. Like, that's where I grew up. But when I think about the education system, I'm like, yeah. I had the worst education in the world, like in the world. And it wasn't until I went to college and I realized how much more students, specifically also white students, knew so much about history, about everything. And I was always like 10 steps behind, that I even barely got A's in college throughout college. It was really hard. I mean, I got A's like for women's and gender studies, which is what I studied, but not anything else. Like it was just really, really hard. It was definitely something that I had to struggle more with as a student than others.
Are you first generation?
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of little things too that, you know, you struggle in academics, in not only academic spaces, but even like when I was like making my white friends or whatever, or even like friends that had proximity to whiteness, you know, all of the, like the little American sayings, like putting all your ducks in a row or things like that. Like I never understood things like that.
Yeah. Until really I went chic. To college we have some really like, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really cute.
Mm-hmm. Or even people that like know the names of every celebrities. Like I'm really bad with pop culture. Like it's just like, you know, those like little things that I just didn't grow up with that I felt like so out of place. Yeah.
Well, don't worry about the pop culture. We have our own pop culture.
Or saying ducks in a row. Like that should be done. You know, that should have stayed in the 70s or 80s for sure.
I love that saying though. Now it's like, okay, good.
Okay, good. Great. Yeah. One of our best. Well, that's really amazing.
I was going to tell you, my husband is from Burkina Faso and English is not his first language. And all of those little sayings, you don't even realize how much you say them until someone questions you on what it means. And then you got to explain it and it sounds dumb.
Yeah. Yeah.
He asked me what the American dream was the other day.
Oh my God. What did you tell him?
I was that like,
a big question.
I was like, honestly, it's you, bro. Like, it's
yeah,
you.
Truly.
he's giving you very much American Dream vibes, you know? And I had to just try, I was just trying to, it was really hard to explain. And I was like using my dad and my grandparents as an example as well. But it's also like, but I also wanted to be like, but also, you know, it's bullshit, right? Because it's trying to feed people into capitalism. And so it's really just a clever ruse to make, you know, then I start going off into a tangent that's borderline conspiracy theory. It's hard.
Well, I feel like you have to bring in the conspiracy theory if you're talking about the American Dream.
Right? Because I don't want him to get the wrong
idea. What are you
going
to say? Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are you going to say? Like, no, it's perfectly built for everyone to succeed. Like, what are you...
Exactly.
What are you going to... You got to be real with
no,
him.
It's a whole conversation. It's like...
It's a whole conversation. And you guys have a Google Home or whatever, so the government's listening to it. So you got to kind of speak in code. You have to figure out how to say it without them actually, you know, hearing
it.
Yeah,
we got two Alexas. They definitely are listening.
Yeah. Surrounding us all the time. Well, that's amazing. I mean, it's so impressive. I guess what I'm most familiar with is your work with Veggie Mijas. If you want to maybe explain to us a little bit about that and how you got into that.
Yeah. So
where you started that.
So Veggie Mijas is a folks of color collective where we get together in physical spaces or digital spaces in order to talk about our plant-based lifestyle and our marginalized identities and how they intersect, and also focusing on food justice, environmental and climate justice as well through having action-based events. Where we get together, and whether that looks like potlucks or farm sanctuary trips to like beach cleanups, community for just giving out food. So it really ranges from like having events where we have spaces for joy and also spaces for action.
Where'd that come from? What inspired that?
So when I was in college, I was studying women's and gender studies. At first, I wanted to be a medical examiner. And then I was like, I got to go to med school. So my advisor was like, you got to go to med school. And I was like, no, please, I'm out. And I went to study women's and gender studies. While I was studying that, my friend who she's Dominican, she was like, Amy, like, you're such a feminist, you should be vegan. And I was like, what is that? And like, it turned me into a whole, hole of studying food justice and what that meant and what that meant for women. And I really just got the insight from myself too, from my own personal experiences with food. And it just kind of clicked that I was like, I should be vegan. I should look into having a plant-based lifestyle. And I was really inspired by folks of color that really drew me into veganism. But then after a while, like I really got involved in like white vegan spaces and I felt really uncomfortable most of the time. So I was
why
like,
they're so fun. They're so much fun. I don't know why.
Can I
Victoria's
ask a question?
Party girls. Yes, yeah. Please, Carolina.
So I've got a follow-up question because you just mentioned like it made you think about your own relationship with food. And I feel like I'm not a vegan. I grew up with an aunt that was vegan, that same aunt that went to Ithaca. I don't know if you know anything about Ithaca. It's a very granola situation. Mm-hmm. But I do think that I wanted to kind of hear a little bit more about your relationship with food, because for me, from what I know about Peruvian food and from what I know about Colombian food and just like the food from the place, from like Latin America, for Latinos, like for me growing up, the kind of food that I ate, it's so interesting, the connection, because a lot of it could be vegan. Yes, there's a lot of pork, but also there's a lot of dishes that could be vegan and that I eat. Like my breakfast that I eat is, for the most part, a lot of the times, like it doesn't need animal products. I'm personally trying to minimize the animal products, cannot commit to veganism, but I kind of wanted to hear a little bit more about that process and how you kind of navigated to vegan from there.
Yeah. So Peruvian foods actually are not pork based. It's more seafood based. Through the connection, I think that, so when I went vegan, I came back home and I was telling my parents, I'm like, hey, I'm vegan now. And they're like, what? you're vegan and you're gay. Like, what's going on? And I was like,
naturally.
I was like, all right, well, we can, you know, let's talk about this. And I opened the fridge and I got like rid of most of the things. I think like we donated it or something. But I just genuinely just didn't want to see it in the fridge anymore. And
so are your parents vegan?
So they're mostly plant-based. I wouldn't say vegan, because they still eat some of like the traditional things like from, you know, our culture, but the house is mostly plant-based due to health issues that my mom has right now. So yeah. But when I first entered being like vegan, they were really concerned. They, you know, all of the questions started piling up, like, you know, where are you going to get your protein? What am I going to cook for you? Blah, 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 blah. And honestly, like, my mom doesn't have a strong background in cooking. She actually didn't learn how to cook until she came to the US. So for her, it was more of an experience of switching that knowledge and relearning what that meant for us as a family. And she started learning a lot of different recipes through me or through my friends that were vegan and would come, or YouTube as well. So it was more of like a switch of knowledge rather than like whole cultural change. But even when we eat like Colombian and Peruvian food, we still eat some of the foods, but we always try to like veganize it if we can.
Yeah. For me, I feel like in my mind, I'm like, a lot of it could be easily veganized. I love the word veganized.
Veganized.
Yeah. And honestly, when we do a lot of workshops with kids and young adults, we always tell them that. We're like, what are you eating right now that's already vegan, that's already plant-based? And like, kids are always saying, oh, I eat rice with plátanos and avocados and all of this and that. And I'm like, great. Like, that's literally it. Right. And I think it's also a way of like seeing veganism, because a lot of folks think that veganism is limiting, but it's actually not. It's like you're restricting yourself to like these five animals when there's so many fruits and vegetables that you can explore. And people just have to be open to that.
Yeah. Like frijoles and tortillas.
That's great.
That's vegan.
Yeah.
And that's my favorite breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's pretty amazing that like you, that your family, you came home and you were like, I'm going to remove all of these things. This is kind of how we're going to eat. We're going to eat now. And they were like, down.
Wait, can I ask too? Was it one conversation? I'm gay. I'm vegan.
No.
You said it like that.
No.
Because I think that's how a lot of people should come out. Like, bury the lead with vegan, because you don't know which, you know, what are they going to be more.
You don't know which one's going to be more
moment,
of a shock.
You know what I mean? I'm throwing away everything in your refrigerator, or like, I am bringing home more men.
Repurposing everything in the refrigerator.
Repurposing everything. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
No, it was definitely two separate conversations for sure. The vegan one went more smoothly in the house.
Yeah.
And yeah. There's such a, and I kind of also want to hear about, you know, a lot of like marginalized people and people of color coming together and creating space for vegan food. I think it's really interesting because for a long time, for me, my introduction to vegan was from a Black woman. It was from my aunt, right? But growing up, when you hear about it from other people, or the way that I experienced it in college, wasn't like before I went to college, I feel like I knew, but also being from Queens, like there's so many different kinds of foods. There's so many different, you know, nationalities and restaurants and people, and like, you can eat vegan in Queens, I feel, pretty easily. I mean, there's this huge vegan Chinese restaurant in Flushing that is litty. I cannot remember the name, but it's so good. And I think it's really interesting and important to be teaching people that these are your options, and that the options. So I saw this thing on TikTok, and it was talking about how the idea that healthy food looks like like white people's healthy food mm-hmm. as opposed to our food.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, they literally got the label of the, like the label of being vegan. And then they put like, they took our foods, like plantains, collard greens, like all mm-hmm. of our foods. And then they were like, this is vegan, and erased, you know, POC faces from it and started to put white faces to it. When it's in fact, like we were the ones that, you know, are mostly plant-based. And while not all indigenous people eat plant-based, we do have a more like considerate way of thinking of earth, because earth is us, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just, they literally just capitalized it off of us, basically.
Yeah.
I think that's really interesting. And I think also, in a lot of countries, people are eating what's in season. Mm-hmm. And so your dishes around the year are based off of what's in season. And mm-hmm. so a lot of the dishes.
But we really don't do that here.
Oh, no, not at all.
Right? I don't think. Yeah. Nah. Okay. Yeah.
You want avocado?
Like occasionally you'll hear someone say, like, ooh, it's tomato season or whatever. But I'm like, yeah, but there's generally tomatoes all around all the time and all the time. Yeah. But like, mm-hmm. there's no awareness in our country, I don't think, about like what is like, mm-hmm. I mean, forget about ethical sourcing or like, mm-hmm. you know, what works well with the earth or whatever. Everyone's just like, we don't give a shit. We want, you know, asparagus or whatever. So that's really interesting to me. And I think like, that's part of the lack of like true culture that America mm-hmm. has. Whereas, you know,
oh, yeah.
you're from Peru, you're very familiar with the climate of Peru. What, and like, there's almost a level of like respect for mm-hmm. that country's mm-hmm. like, you know, the seasons, the weather, all of that, right. that I think is really lacking here.
And yeah. do you think that like that switch to veganism and changing that life and like adopting that lifestyle, how did that kind of change you as a person and like your feelings and how you dealt with feelings? Because obviously you're accomplished, you're still accomplishing. And I wonder if that has like led you on a path to like more success or less success, or lent itself to you like finding yourself as a person, and like, does it make you happier? Does it like affect who you are like emotionally? Cause like we spoke to an Ayurvedic healer and we're both working with her and she's amazing. And she really talked a lot about how making these changes and implementing them and thinking about our diets, like, is going to affect us as people. And truly, when I tell you, being less bloated has made me a happier person in like the lowest level of like just kind of explaining where I'm coming from. I just wanted to know like where do you come from in that sense?
Yeah. So I think that the success, when we talk about success, it seems like very capitalized too. But so I'm going to think about success in the way that is success for me. And success for me is mm-hmm. to know that we have created such a beautiful team, such a huge group of people that continue to give information to each other, to continue to give resources, to continue to advocate for one another, to advocate for their own communities, to do the work, right? Which is like creating these community fridges, creating these places where they can give out food, et cetera. And I think that the success is shown through the people that have created these movements, because this climate and environmental and food movement is so intergenerational. It needs a lot of people. And I don't consider myself, I think I saw like this art from Monica, my friend Trinidad, and she said, it says like, why do you want to be a star when you can be a constellation? And I think that's so beautiful. Wow. Because it's so true, right? Like, why do I want, you know, you have to question yourself. If you're doing things for yourself, why is that? Like, what's the reason behind that? I think that the reason should always be the people. The reason should always be the community, and you shouldn't be singling yourself out. Yeah, I can do great work. I can be this accomplished person. I can do, but at the end of the day, why am I doing it for? Like, what is the reason, right? And the reason is always back to my people. It's always back to my community. So success for me looks like success, anything that brings success to anybody.
Oh, okay.
That's so beautiful.
Start a revolution.
Wow.
Yes, I already did, started.
No, she like literally
yeah.
Oh. Everyone is.
Get me to drink the Kool-Aid. Yeah, no, it's really crazy. Like, my cousin is a principal, and like the idea of food deserts, I feel like I knew about it and I understood it, but I think it never really applied to me until—
Wait, I don't know what that is. Food deserts?
Well,
what are you saying?
I would prefer to say food apartheid, because food deserts then seems like it's like it comes out of the blue that there's no food around you.
That is natural, like, but it is an apartheid. That is it's natural. Intentional.
Exactly. But food apartheid sees that it is intentional that there is no food around you.
Oof.
Yeah. It's like it's another form
of genocide.
Systemic racism.
Yeah.
It's environmental racism. So like a food apartheid would be, do you want me to say it? Because from what I understand, it's like living in a low income area that doesn't have grocery stores or fresh food or fresh produce. Mm-hmm. So you're living in a place where you may or may not be on public assistance. That food that is linked to public assistance, which I will say from what I know, that is, they are trying to change like what you can buy and what you can use if you're on SNAP or EBT. But for the most part, it's just being in a place geographically where you don't have access to food. You don't have access to food on that same level. But what you do have access to is a bodega. You do have access to a smaller grocery store where there one isn't enough food. It's expensive to get the fresh produce or the fresh, you know, anything. And that the food that is less, that has less nutritional value is cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so then you have people who have a low income, who are not eating well, who, and if you really want to get into it, usually the water is not great in the neighborhood, who are drinking water, who can't afford to. I mean, I live in East New York. I wouldn't necessarily call it a food desert, but they say that in Canarsie, which is right next door, it can food apartheid. It can be considered that. And like, it's not going to be an issue for me because I have a car. I can go to Costco. I can go to Whole Foods. I can go wherever I need to go to do that. But like,
this the fact that you need a car to get travel. Somewhere, that's the—
Absolutely. My grocery stores that are immediately around me. And mind you, I moved here in the last, I would say I've been here 3 years maybe. And last year they opened up a grocery store that is like halfway decent and sells like organic options, fresh produce. It's not crazy. But then to compete with that, there is a Bravo that is literally a block away from me. Mind you, I have to walk to get to this other grocery store. There's a Bravo that is closer to me that is expensive. The produce, the food, it's like always half empty. It doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. It's not good at all. But the problem is, and like, I think about this all the time, is that the people who— the other thing about my neighborhood is that it's split in the sense that some of the people here own their houses and have really good jobs and they have cars. So they're not worried about eating in this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't bother them because they don't have to.
Right.
And then the people that do have to eat in this neighborhood, it's a generational issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's 100%. This is what my mom ate. This is what my family has always eaten. What's the problem? Cheetos, hot Cheetos for breakfast is not an issue, but it's not nutritional, and children shouldn't eat like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, where I grew up in Jackson Heights, and while yes, like there's a lot of food and there's, it's like a whole thing. I live closer to the airport, and near the airport, there's like nothing. There's just Popeyes, mm-hmm. Taco Bell, Dunkin' Donuts. And there's like a little, not even a bodega, it's a gas station. And that's literally about it. I mean, if you walk a few more blocks, then it's like pizza, like an Italian place. And then that's pretty much it.
down the street from me on Pennsylvania Avenue, I literally call it Heart Attack Row. There is a Checkers, a Wendy's. I'm dead serious. On the same road, a Checkers. Mm-hmm. The Checkers, the Wendy's, the Burger King, all right next to each other. A McDonald's, a Popeyes, a Dunkin' Donuts. Literally every single fast food chain that you could think of, it's all within like a 2-block radius. Some on this side, some on the other side of the street. It's crazy.
And of course you're going to go for that.
It's literally it's, placed there.
Exactly. Oh my God.
That's yeah. So and they put it there, and then they're like, they blame, you know, people of color that they're like, oh, like y'all are not eating well, da, 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 da. But it's like, these are the options you gave us. Like, you're not investing in our community. You're
exactly.
Not, it's just not being in it, as seen as an investment. Yeah.
And it is annoying to have to travel to get certain things. Like, I know if I want good fish, I gotta travel. I gotta take myself to Bushwick minimum to get to a fish market or get to like something that's really good. Or like, if I really want, my thing is that like, if I want like quality meat, or if I want, so my husband, he'll go to the butcher and actually like get halal meat because he's Muslim. And sometimes we'll do that. But like, even in general, like it really is kind of a crisis. Mm-hmm. For some people.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's not kind of, it is a crisis.
It is.
Yeah.
And that's why we're fighting for it, because it's important.
Yeah, it is really important. Does that ever make you weary or frustrated?
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, yeah. If I don't even know how to, like, yes, 100%. I mean, even in my own personal life, like whenever I, you know, was home, I would be like, wow, like not even in Grubhub, I can get some healthy options. It's just,
and then your parents are there, and that's their options.
Yeah. And I mean, we never grew up eating that food because, you know, my dad would always drive to go get food if that was the case. But even when we go grocery running, like we would always have to go late at night because my parents are always working and the only time is like late at night, you know? And I never even grew up knowing what a farmer's market was until later on. Because my parents would just never have time to do that. And every time we did, like, it was just a quick run at night. So it's moments like that where you just like food is just so, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's just so inaccessible that it's frustrating. Mm-hmm.
I also saw in that New York Times article, that was about you from, I guess, what was it, a couple years ago? Something that I, you know, obviously clothes are not as important as food. I'd say that would be the number one concern. And this is a secondary issue to that, where it's not life and death. But I don't know. In some ways, I feel like it maybe could be. When we talk about like fast fashion and access as far as clothes, it's very parallel to me to fast food. And in that the options, you know, as far as... But like you say, buying a $5 shirt because it's affordable, of course, that's great. But it's like, okay, why is it this cheap? Why is it, what are we, you know, giving into?
Right.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily good for the earth, just like cheaper food isn't always good for our body.
Well, of course. But there's the labor behind it is, you know, my concern.
True.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that when we're looking at various of layers for the environment, whether that's fashion, whether that's food, and even when we're thinking about plant-based foods, like not all of the labor that folks are doing, that farmers are having with like fruits and vegetables is ethical. Like, does that mean that we're just going to stop doing whatever we can? I think that we can always strive to do the most of what we can, whatever that looks like. And of course, taking breaks and boundaries and always relying on people as well. But if I think that the most important thing is like fighting for what you believe in without knowing what the outcome is going to be, because you're just never going to know. But as long as you fight for it.
As long as you have faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the most important part.
Mm. Beautiful.
Sorry, I'm trying to shush my parents. They're both here.
I mean, yeah, I was concerned. What's going on over there?
They keep going in and out the door, and the door is creaky.
Well, maybe we go in our room and record, babe.
I put her in the room. Okay. I put her in the room. I put her away.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. He's on the phone with my tia Susanna being loud. Hey, you know, what are you going to do?
I didn't hear any voices. I heard crashing. I heard, is everyone okay over there?
Listen, both Sandra and Dallas are here walking back and forth real slow, talking to each other.
Okay. Okay. And then okay. Wait, 3 minutes. We get through it. We got to talk to Amy.
Amy. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to ask, as far as the activism in the future, what are the goals? What do we see? What are you trying to achieve and change? I mean, I know we've talked about the food, but, you know, in the immediacy, what's the short term and long term looking like?
Oof, that is a loaded question. I think there's a lot to be done. I think short term, always just continuing what we're doing. I think we're doing a great job and always just like advocating for more and expanding Veggie Mijas, whether that's creating more through the education team, the creative team, creating more for the data team, just creating in general and having fun and being a creator and finding myself through like having different kinds of knowledges, whether that's grant writing or like building my own literal nonprofit organization from the ground up. I think like that is in the long term as well, just figuring it all out because no one gave me the tools. No one gave me anything. So when I'm here, like, you know, being a whole executive director,
babe, you are the tool.
Yeah. And it really just takes a lot of mentors as well. So I'm excited to just continue to build more partnerships and relationships with other people that have been in the same boat and continue to do what I do.
So well, thank exciting. You so Amazing. Much for speaking with us.
Yeah. Yes,
thank you so much for inviting me. We appreciate it.
We're so excited to see what you do. And yes, you know, if we can like help.
The future.
Yeah, whatever we can do, whatever the listeners can do, we'll put your Instagram and promote and, you know, however we can be of service.
Yes. Absolutely. Thank you so much, y'all.
Of course.
Have a great evening.
You
have
too,
a good night. Bye.
Bye.